shot at somebody to work out your frustrations on these neocons. Hey, got Bruce Birch coming up next from 5 to 7, 7 to 10. We got Bob Kincaid here on the Head On Radio Network. I'm here as the Guy James Show. I am Guy James on the Guy James Show. Proud to be part of the Head.
This is the Quality News Network. A new oil strike. Chevron announced today its oil test well in the deep waters of the Gulf of Mexico was successful. The breakthrough could increase U.S. oil reserves by as much as 50%. However, full production probably wouldn't start up for another 5 to 7 years. In Mexico, the Electoral Court has recommended that Felipe Calderon be officially declared the winner of July's hotly contested presidential election. The court rejected accusations of fraud. UN Secretary General Kofi Annan says he remains optimistic that Israel's Air and Sea blockade of Lebanon will be removed within the next 48 hours. The blockade has been in effect since Israel's 34-day war with Hezbollah ended last month. In Vienna tomorrow, a senior Iranian negotiator and the EU foreign policy chief will meet in a last-ditch effort to avoid UN sanctions. The two will attempt a negotiated solution to Iran's insistence it continue to enrich uranium. In Washington, Congress returned to work today from its summer recess on its agenda spending bills for defense and homeland security as well as federal pay raises. It is unlikely issues such as immigration or offshore drilling will be addressed before lawmakers adjourn at the end of the month. 55% of American voters prefer challengers to congressional incumbents running for re-election in November. That's according to the latest CNN poll. Only 12% of those surveyed are satisfied with Congress. In Iraq, two U.S. Marines and a sailor were killed in combat today in the Anbar province. Baghdad police found 7 more bullet-riddled Iraqi bodies. In Afghanistan, NATO-led forces report killing up to 60 Taliban rebels in Kandahar province over the past 24 hours. In Denmark, police have arrested 9 people thought to be plotting a terrorist attack. The suspects are being held under anti-terrorism laws that have been in effect there since 9/11. The 6th named storm of the season has formed over the open Atlantic. Tropical Storm Florence is forecast to hit hurricane strength Friday. In Montana, wildfire, now in its 3rd week, is only 25% contained. More than 180,000 acres have been blackened. 26 homes have been destroyed. A study released today says nearly 70% of those working among the rubble of the World Trade Center are experiencing trouble with their lungs. Doctors say health problems related to the Twin Tower cleanup may affect workers for the rest of their lives. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
Most people would rather have a root canal than go to a dealer to buy a car. But you can turn dread into joy when you learn how to play the car buying game. Read the book, Right Car, Right Price, and you'll discover how the game is played and how you can win every time. Whether you're buying a car or a truck, new or used, Right Car, Right Price explains how to find and buy the vehicle best suited to your individual transportation needs. Auto Week called Right Car, Right Price the right stuff. So take the hassle out of car buying. Read Right Car, Right Price, and every time you get into your new car, you'll know you've got a great deal. Go online to rightcarrightprice.com to order your copy today. It only takes an hour to read Right Car, Right Price, and it just costs $10. We even pay the postage. So go to rightcarrightprice.com right now. It'll be one of the best decisions you ever make.
The federal government says U.S. home prices grew just over 8% in the 2nd quarter. That's a decline of more than a full percentage point, the lowest gain in 7 years. Intel, the world's biggest microchip maker, will announce huge job cuts later today. As many as 10% of Intel's staff will be laid off. Sprint Nextel has won a $680 million two-year contract from the U.S. General Services Administration. Bristol-Myers, which makes the popular blood-thinning drug Plavix, is lowering its forecast for this year's profits. A federal judge stopped shipments of a generic competitor but denied a request to recall generic versions of Plavix already shipped to the market. Viacom announced CEO Tom Freston is resigning. No reason was given. Expect new car models to start reflecting more colors, especially earth tones rather than silver, which has dominated the automotive world for years. At least that's according to industry experts. They say the more expensive the car, the more neutral the color will be. It has to do with resale value. Light sweet crude traded at $68.60 a day on the New York Mercantile Exchange. Gold traded at $646.50 an ounce. Silver was trading at $13.10 an ounce. Near the close of Wall Street, the Dow Jones was up 5 points. The NASDAQ was up 12 points. The S&P 500 was up 2. More at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Annabelle Lund. It's 5 minutes past the hour.
Roll up your sleeves and put on your gloves, because the work is just beginning.
Monday warrior, me strike. Today's Tom Sawyer, me strike.
It's time to turn the conversation to taking back America. From the crusaders who have drained our treasury, created needless wars, and expect the working people to pay for their billionaires' games, it's time for the Bruce Birch Radio Program. Brought to you by the West Virginia Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. They are building the American dream each and every day. You can get in on the program by dialing in to 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. And now, your host, Bruce Birch.
All right, you're back on the Bruce Birch Radio Program. It's about 6 minutes past the top of the hour. Glad to be back with you again this afternoon as we take a look at some of the chicanery that's going on in the Bush administration and in other places as well. The show topic today actually has to do with Mexico. Now, why would I want to talk about Mexico? Well, it's very plain. If you look at the news today, if you've read anything about what's going on down there, in the last couple of months or so, there has been a very heated battle over the presidency there in Mexico, and between Felipe Calderon and Juan López Obrador, and these two guys have been battling it out. Obrador has accused Calderon of a lot of election irregularities. Greg Palast was down there and reported on a number of those irregularities, including, you know, one irregularity that we know about, the fact that the Vicente Fox government actually pulled in the same people who engineered the George Bush win, in quotation marks, here in the United States. So we're going to be talking about that in a little bit. If you want to get in on the conversation today, you can by dialing 1-877, the number 4, and then head on, or 1-877-443-2366. Also, you can email me if you're so inclined to do that. You can email me at bruce@brucebirch.com, and that's B-U-R-C-H. The last name is spelled B-U-R-C-H. Glad to have you on board with me this afternoon. I hope you all enjoyed the break yesterday. We had over the weekend and yesterday a repeating stream of Friday's programming here on the Head On Radio Network, and including the a vintage Mike Malloy that was from, I believe, Mission Accomplished, May the 1st, 2003, when Bunny Pants flew onto the deck of the warship there, and that aircraft carrier, and you know, strutted around with codpiece attached. One would think maybe they oversized it, but we're not going to talk about that. Let's see. And also, if you want to avail yourself of the full Head On Radio Network online experience, you can go to our chat room, and that's at headonradionetwork.com. Look on the left-hand side of the page. There's a link to our chat. You can click on that. pop in there, and there's a number of people in there hanging out this afternoon having a good time. Those folks there, I'm going to tell you, those folks there are the smartest that exist anywhere on the internets. That's right. They really do know what they're doing. They're pretty fantastic. But I wanted to get over back over, if you will, to this whole Felipe Calderon situation. Now, what's going on down in Mexico? What's going on down there? Well, I'll fill you in on a couple of things. First thing out of the gate to this afternoon is that the electoral court has ruled that Felipe Calderon is the president-elect of Mexico. This is 2 months after their election, and the electoral court voted unanimously to reject allegations of fraud and certify the very narrow victory. Now, Manuel López Obrador has said that he will not recognize the ruling. His supporters wept as the decision was announced, and the courthouse shook as protesters set off fireworks outside. Opposition supporter Francisco Ojeda said Felipe Calderon didn't win, fraud won. And protesters threw trash at the court and screamed, fraud, fraud. Now, the court, for its part, says that it found no evidence of systemic fraud, although it threw out some polling place results for mathematical errors, irregularities, and other problems that trimmed Calderon's 240,000 vote advantage to down to 233,000 out of 41.6 million votes that were cast. The tribunal's decision now is final and cannot be appealed. This long-awaited ruling by the Federal Electoral Tribunal, which came 2 months, 3 days, and tens of thousands of pages of legal challenges later after voters cast their ballots, was unlikely, according to this story, was unlikely to end potentially explosive protests or close the growing political divide gripping the country. Calderon, for his part, stayed out of sight at the ruling party offices. And now he must, he has the task of winning over millions of Mexicans angry that Vicente Fox didn't make good on promises of sweeping change. And he's also got to fend off thousands of radicalized leftists who say they will stop at nothing to undermine his presidency. Radicalized leftists. Yes, there's the language for you, folks. Radicalized leftists. You mean people who actually want to see a vote carried out the right way? Those are radicalized leftists. Oh, my gosh. Okay. López Obrador and his supporters claimed fraud, illicit government spending, and dirty tricks swayed the election in favor of Calderon, who happens to also be a member of Fox's National Action Party. The bottom line here, folks, is that it's going to get worse before it gets better down south of the border. Now, Fox, as you know, Vicente Fox is a big fan and big friend of George W. Bush, and they're cut from the same cloth. Fox is a former Coca-Cola executive, let me just tell you, Coca-Cola, the company itself, has done some very, very nasty things south of the border to ensure that it's able to produce its product, including stopping water from going to people because it needed it to make Coca-Cola. You name it, they've engaged in it. Now, Obrador, for his part, has actually the other day, if I remember correctly, basically said that he planned to implement an alternative government. An alternative government. Now, López Obrador barely mentioned the impending decision yesterday during his nightly address to followers in the Zocalo. Instead, he focused on an upcoming national convention of his supporters to decide if he should declare himself head of a parallel government whose members could propose a series of government reforms. He is quoted as saying, "This movement is now about transforming the country." He said, what we are proposing now could just be a dream. Maybe it won't bear fruit. Maybe it will be that we fail. But you know what we have? We have confidence, and above all, the responsibility to do it. The dreams of the men and women of today will be the realities of tomorrow. That convention is planned in a couple of weeks, actually 10 days, September the 16th, which happens to be Mexico's Independence Day in the Zocalo, where the armed forces traditionally gather for a march down Mexico City's main Reforma Avenue. Both places have been occupied by protesters for more than a month. Tensions in Mexico are, you could cut them with a knife. You could cut them with a knife. And we'll talk about that some more today. Now, definitely do want you to know, if you want to get in on the show, you can dial 1-877-443-2366. And that'll get you into the Head On Radio Network studios, where our wonderful folks will handle your call and get you on the air with me. You can also email me, bruce@brucebirch.com. I'm going to take a quick break, and when I come back, we'll get more into this subject. This is the Bruce Birch Radio Program on the Head On Radio Network.
And the men who hold high places must be the ones who start to mold a new reality closer to the heart, closer to the heart.
Great universities never set out simply to reflect the communities in which they exist. Rather, they serve as seedbeds of change in an ever-changing world. They take pride in being places where truth is freely sought, where inquiry is encouraged, where new ideas and new ways can develop and flourish at the expense of the old. When a true academic community, instructors and students together, acts and expresses itself freely, without fear, all of society benefits. Concord University is already using this new set of challenges as opportunities to serve in ways that strengthen its dedication to community, its commitment to service. In graduate education, in professional services to working professionals, in highly respected fields of study where standards remain high, in continuing to place graduates in the very best professional and graduate schools in the nation, Concord University remains the very best higher education bargain in this region. Don't ever allow yourself to accept anything less. Concord University, still since 1872, an education you can put to work. For an appointment, call 1-800-344-6679.
Are you still looking for weapons of mass destruction? Concerned about the future of the Supreme Court? You want to know how government bureaucrats are changing Social Security, overtime pay, or the environment? Maybe you just want to know if the president's lying to you, or when our troops in Iraq can finally come home. I'm Mark Levine. I've got the inside scoop. When you want to know what's going on inside the Beltway, you need a Beltway insider. Someone who's worked in the government and still has sources willing to give you all the news from Washington the government does not want you to know. So for lively debate, reasoned opinion, detailed analysis of history and policy, or just a point of view you don't hear expressed in the mainstream media, tune in to the Inside Scoop. Feel free to call in too. Agree or disagree. All opinions are welcome. It just might make you think. That's the Inside Scoop, weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 Central, 11 o'clock Pacific, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
This is the story about a group of kids who volunteered.
We fix stuff. Did some art projects with the kids.
Clean up the park.
We worked in the woods.
I just wanted to do something.
We fixed up this house.
Did something for the planet.
Hey, that was all I needed. And you know what? It was great.
It was a blast.
At first, they didn't know each other.
I didn't know anyone.
Well, that didn't last long.
This guy is really funny.
Me?
These are my new friends. These are really good new friends.
Are you into it?
Are You Into It is a volunteer program for kids like you who care.
If you want to make a difference in your community and make friends, call 4-H toll-free at 1-888-77-YOUTH or check out our website at www.areyouintoit.com.
This definitely made a difference.
I feel like I can do everything now.
A public service message brought to you by 4-H, the Cooperative Extension System, and the Ad Council.
You're back on the Bruce Birch radio program. It's right at 20 minutes past the hour. We've been talking a little bit about what's the situation that's going on down in down south of the border in Old Mexico. And, you know, it's kind of crazy. We do have a caller on the line who wants to talk about it. Gene on line one. Gene, how are you doing this afternoon?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good, Bruce. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic, man. Good to hear from you.
Good to hear from you, too. Well, I got to say, I'm kind of proud of the Mexicans, because at least they don't seem to stand for corruption, unlike some other people, which will remain nameless. But one of the reasons that I called was when I got up this morning, I looked around, because I woke up to NPR, because I was listening to that instead of AAR, because it's a past thing, and they mentioned the Mexican elections and what Lopez Obrador was going to do with the parallel government and such. And I was thinking, great, this is fantastic. So I zipped on the web and I looked around real quick and, you know, swung by the New York Times and a few other places. And I'm looking at the Washington Post right now. And finally, they're beginning to take note about the election, but it's not a headline. And I would think, if you're going to have a government that's on our southern border, a big government, make this kind of change, we really ought to be finding it a little better.
You think so?
So, I mean, it just really, it was driving me crazy. I couldn't figure out why they weren't, our mainstream press really wasn't covering this. And then finally, it hit me as I was waiting to get on here. They don't want to scare the Republican voters. They're older, and they... And basically, if they kill them off, the thoughts of all of pardon, the brown people coming up from the south of the border, they might kill over and die, and they need all the votes they can get. So,
well, you know, I totally agree with you. One would think that that there would be a considerable media, presence dealing with this situation. I guess it really gets under my skin that, you know, all this is going down right there, and, you know, they covered it for a very short period of time and moved on to other things, such as the crocodile guy losing his life there. But, I mean,
yeah,
you know, or the JonBenet Ramsey story or whatever, you know, and what's happened is, you know, what he's proposing is actually unheard of. I don't know. I have not yet. I mean, I know that there's been opposition parties that have set up, you know, an opposition camp in various parts of the countries down in South America, and you just didn't go there if you were, you know, I mean, you didn't tread into that area unless you were allied with their cause. But this is something even very much different than that, in that he's actually talking about a parallel government, which would mean that he's trying to set up an entirely different parliament and elect, you know, and it's just kind of interesting to see how this is all turning out.
Yeah, I'm going to watch this one close because, you know, I frankly wish we'd have done this in 2004, but that's me. I'm keeping a close eye on this one, so I just wanted to.
Well, you know, I dare say that, you know, in Mexico they're much more, you know, the chasm between the haves and the have-nots in Mexico is even deeper than it is here and wider. And that has driven many people into the streets. I mean, you know, the bottom line is that Vicente Fox and his, apparently now his successor, Felipe Calderon, are both very much from the, aristocracy there in Mexico. And, you know, they're not of the people. And you know, so it's going to be interesting to see how this all plays out. But I will say this, that at this point, you know, through their constitutional avenues, Felipe Calderon has been guaranteed to be the winner. And that's unfortunate, because I think that, you know, there's been a lot of reform that has happened across South America, not, you know, with Michelle Bachelet being elected, and with gentleman down in Bolivia, I'm trying to remember his name, and of course Hugo Chavez, and these folks are, you know, while they're being labeled as dictators here in the United States by George Bush and his gang of thugs, you know, the reality is that they are returning the wealth to the people from which it's been robbed, and you know what? That's a good thing.
Yeah, I think so too, and I really honestly don't, if Obrador is able to pull this off, I don't see how Mr. Calderon can even hope to continue. And I'm hoping that Lopez Obrador succeeds. So at least that's my personal view. So anyway, I guess I'll
well,
later.
You know, it'll be interesting. Like I said, it'll be interesting to see how this all plays out. And actually, in a couple weeks, that's when they're going to have that national convention on the 16th of September to talk about the whole situation and whether or not they're going to actually create a parallel government or not. But, you know, it bears watching. I think maybe, you know, this could give us some ideas here in the in our so-called democracy about how to act when elections are stolen, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
Well. I'll catch you later.
All right. Thank you, Gene. Thanks for calling in, and we'll hope you have a wonderful afternoon.
You too.
All right. That's our friend Gene from Oregon, who happens to also be our Head On Headlines news ninja, news blogger. He, if you go to headonheadlines.headonradionetwork.com, you can see the headlines that he posts. And he's always got an interesting story up there to peruse. It may not be the top story that is declared by the mainstream media, but it is absolutely stories that are well worth your time checking them out. Let's see. Yeah, and the last thing on that too, as I wanted to cover, is that, or you know, in a moment, is that you know, these folks who have gone out to protest this election have gone out into the streets and have camped out. You know? They've camped out. Let me just read this to you, because I think this is really interesting. Well, I'll read this to you. I'll hit a break, and then I'll get right back to your phone calls. 4 weeks ago, 2 million supporters of the leftist presidential candidate Andres Manuel Lopez Obrador protested in the Zocalo, which is the historic plaza at the center of Mexico City. The surrounding streets were jam-packed as the crowd called for a total recount of all votes cast in the recent presidential elections. Voto por voto, casilla por casilla, they chanted. Vote by vote, polling station by polling station. Obrador asked his supporters to stay and resist, and they've been camping there ever since. Looking out across the Zocalo, it's a sea of tents. Each houses the base camp of different Mexican states: Oaxaca, Tabasco, Guerrero, and Chihuahua, just to name a few. People have come from all over the country. Walking through this tent city, soccer games are underway, there's a free medical service, a rough hairdressing salon, and the smell of delicious stews bubbling away in makeshift kitchens. Inside Guerrero's state tent, a dance floor has been cleared among the tents and mattresses. The music is blaring as the crowd stamps their feet and claps along with the old couple performing the state's traditional dance. Wandering through the camps, you can see how this protest movement has exposed the deep class divide that exists in Mexico. Obrador's support base is largely made up of lower class and indigenous Mexicans, and they view him as a savior, the only contemporary figure willing to fight against the corruption of the ruling class. Obrador's supporters feel like he's given them a voice, and they're now here to be heard. A young Indian man from Oaxaca said, "If we don't eliminate hunger, we're all going to have a fatal, unimaginable disaster. There's a lot of blood that's going to run if we don't change this country's economic policies." As the former mayor of Mexico City, Obrador proved his social credentials with pensions and public housing programs. He would have been Mexico's first democratically elected left-wing president, whilst his rival, Felipe Calderón, is from the same pro-business right-wing PAN party as the current president, Vicente Fox. Obrador is convinced that Mexico's powerful worked together in what he sees as a conspiracy to keep him out of office. He is quoted as saying, "We defend a project that disturbs the powerful." Inside of his tent office in the Zocalo. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, in Mexico, they're sitting on the brink of revolution. I think they're sitting on the brink of revolution, and the next few weeks will tell the tale about what happens there. You're listening to the Bruce Birch Radio Program. When I come back, I'll grab your phone calls and we'll talk some more about this or whatever's on your mind. Call me 1-877-443-2366 or email me bruce@brucebirch.com. This is the Head On Radio Network. I'll be right back.
You, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Head On with Bob Kincaid.
Let's go back to the phones, and we are joined by Beauregard T. Clampett, I'm told, on line one.
Hi there, Bob.
Well, Mr. Clampett, how are you, sir?
That's fine, sir. You have had a ruckus on the airwaves this evening, Bob, and I just got to tell you where I fall down on this subject.
And fall down you do, I suppose.
So you catch on quick, I tell you. You're very quick, very quick. But I did want to just, because I kept hearing things like amnesty, and I had to tell you, Bob, if we have amnesty, we can't work them to death like we're doing. We can't pay them $3 an hour if we let them become citizens now, can we?
That whole 13th Amendment thing's still a thorn in your side, isn't it?
We won't talk about that either, Bob. Now, we're working on repealing that sucker, but it's going to take a while.
Catch Bob Kincaid weeknights, 7 to 10 p.m., right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Good man underground.
Head On.
the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
All right, you're back on the Bruce Birch Radio Program. It's about 35 minutes past the hour here in the eastern United States where my can is parked. And we're going to get on to back over to some of your phone calls. We've got our good friend Jim on line one. Jim, how are you doing this afternoon?
It's fine, Bruce. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic.
You know, your friend Beauregard Clampett has an uncle named Belvedere. You haven't heard from him, have you?
No, we haven't heard from Belvedere in quite a while. I don't know what happened to him, but we'll definitely see if we can't find him, dig him up or something.
Oh, I'll see to that.
Okay.
I'll see to that. Now, you know, I'm going to say something that's just going to be probably off the wall and very unpopular, but nonetheless, okay. I just want to just share it with you, okay?
Okay.
And, you know, I'm just thinking out loud. This is just my opinion, nothing more, nothing less. But, you know, unless we annex Mexico and make it one of our states, we should just forget about them and leave them alone to their own affairs. If they have their revolution, fine. If they don't, fine. We simply cannot be all things to all people. We cannot export our way of life into their country just no more than we can export our way of life into Iraq. I mean, I repeat again, we can't even take care of our own affairs.
This is a very true statement.
Pardon me?
I said that's a very true statement. We can barely take care of our own affairs.
I mean, and much less try to tell other people what to do with theirs. I hate to sound like one of these isolationists back in the pre-World War I days, but nonetheless, there comes a point that we are no longer the leader of the world that we would like to be. And I don't think that, you know, we're any shining example on the hill for anybody, not what's going on in this country or what they tried to do recently in the past 6 years. And economically, this NAFTA thing that was supposed to raise all boats, but what's it done?
Well, it's created a much wider, like I said before, much wider and deeper chasm of poverty there in Mexico and here. So, you know, and to be honest with you, Jim, you know, I mean, I totally agree with you. I guess why I wanted to bring this to everyone's attention is because the one chance or the one opportunity that they probably had for the next 6 years to get somebody in power down there that would actually look after the people so that they wouldn't be running here looking for jobs, et cetera, you know, was defeated. You know, so basically what we've seen for the last solid 6 years is going to be the status quo for another 6 years.
Well, I would like to see the conditions there ameliorate naturally, as I would see for all countries. But, I mean, I think our influence over the southern hemisphere, and I don't even know if the OAS still in existence.
The Organization of American States? I believe so. If I remember correctly, they actually met in Fort Lauderdale this year.
Well, you know, I think we should limit our influence to that for the time being until things are such in this country that we can exert a more positive influence by example and also by material capability. You know, for any country in South America, if they have a dictatorship, then fine. If they don't have a dictatorship, then that's fine. I mean, God knows. Look at the dictatorships we have sponsored in this part of the world, these banana republics and things like that. We have such a poor track record with our friends in the South that I'm surprised that they can stand it, to tell you the truth.
Well,
look what we did in Chile with Salvador Allende.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Which, by the way, there is a progressive who is the president there now. Allende was removed from power. He just died recently too, didn't he?
Who's that? Allende?
I think so.
No, we killed him in 1970. We put a cap on him.
Okay. That was a difference.
They assassinated him.
That was a different South American dictator I was thinking of then.
Oh, I was talking about Allende in Chile.
Okay. I was thinking of someone else.
It seems like we've had our share of dirty tricks down there with Noriega and God only knows how many other peoples. And it just seems as though the things that we touch in most parts of the world are not, let's put it this way, we have lost possession of the Philosopher's Stone. They're not turning to gold, that's for sure. And I just really think it's time for us to tend our own business and to get our own house in order. And then we might be capable of helping other people. But until that time, when we can preserve the integrity of our own cities and improve our own infrastructure and do what we need to do here, we don't need to be going around tending other people's business.
I agree. We have to rein it in. And you know something? See, that's the other part of that, too, is that when we overextend ourselves, we find ourselves in the middle of a position where where we have resources that are stretched so thinly. You know, I mean, it's as if it's like the other day I was watching that Katrina documentary on HBO.
Oh yeah,
which I haven't had
a chance to talk
about yet, but that damn movie. You know, as there was a professor, university professor, who got on there and he says, he says, we can find the money to fight a $500 billion war in the Middle East, but we can't find the money to make sure that these people can be evacuated before a hurricane. You know,
well,
and I think that it's a matter
example.
Of priorities.
That's a good example. And, you know, you have to try to prepare to a certain extent. And we have agencies that deal with preparedness. And when they took FEMA and placed it under Homeland Security, they basically emasculated that organization to the point that it's just virtually a non-entity. You know, it's just the much smaller piece of a much smaller pie. And they don't have any real effect as far as I'm concerned. And look how effective they were in New Orleans. But, I mean, it would appear to me as though we need to be a little more far-seeing and have contingency plans laid for disasters. Because, I mean, how long really had New Orleans been, not if, but when?
A long time.
And how long, and now our scientists, our climatologists, our meteorologists, our seismologists, our other scientists, volcanologists, are telling us about the same thing about in this country about just natural occurrences whose advent could be absolutely calamitous. And what would happen in this country? You know? If Yellowstone were to go critical.
Oh, I know, that caldera.
And that is one of the most active seismic things in the world, and it could divide this country in half.
Yeah.
If it were. And we don't have any plans for stuff like that. And, you know, and we're worried about Iraq and Mexico and stuff like this. It makes the mind reel. It really does. I don't mean to get on a tree stump this afternoon, but I just wonder exactly, you know, hey, who's robbing this train?
Yeah. Well, that's just it. is that I think the people who are robbing the train are actually sitting in the conductor's chair right now.
Well, I guess my position in the eyes of some people may be reactionary. If it is, so be it. I don't care, but that's just the way I feel. And I appreciate your listening, okay?
Absolutely. Glad to have you on board today, Jim, and I hope you have a wonderful afternoon.
Okay, you take care. And Uncle Belvedere will be calling on you now. You hear?
All right.
All right, bye.
Thank you, Jim. And that's our good friend Jim from an undisclosed location somewhere located in the Northern Hemisphere. We're going to take our, let's see. Yes, we're going to go ahead and take our break, and then we come back. You know, if you want to call in, you know the number, 1-877-443-2366 is the number. And Bruce at BruceBirch.com is the email address. I'll be right back after these messages.
You may find yourself living in a shotgun shack. And you may find yourself in another part of the world. And you may find yourself behind the wheel of a large automobile. And you may find yourself in a beautiful house with a beautiful wife. And you may ask yourself,
Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the Muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 and 3 Quarters. All you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
Guy James Means, straight talk and great guests like author and reporter Greg Palast.
Do we have Greg on the phone?
Hey, yes we do.
All right, very good, Greg.
Greg talked about his new book, Armed Madhouse.
You'll see in the second chapter of the book about Big Oil. That I was able to get the inside documents from inside the State Department for the plans for the oil fields of Iraq, which is, you know, what it, you know, it's about the oil. And you actually, you know, if you thought they had a secret plan, I go and get it.
Greg Palast, thank you so much.
Don't miss Guy James weekday afternoons, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Listen, man, adding fractions is no big deal.
Nah?
No. You just got to find what they call the common denominator. Let me show you.
All right.
Now, see these bottom numbers?
Yeah.
These are the denominators. That one's a 4 and that one's an 8.
Mm-hmm.
You just double both of these numbers so that becomes an 8, too. Then you add them up.
Man, you sure make this easy.
Charles Bennett always dreamed that after college he'd return to the old neighborhood as a teacher. But without the money for tuition, only half of his dream came true. He's back in the old neighborhood.
Well, enough math. I gotta deliver these sandwiches.
Oh, sure.
Please support the United Negro College Fund. Call 1-800-332-UNCF. A mind is a terrible thing to waste. A public service brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
you back on the Bruce Burst Radio Program. It's about 49 minutes past the hour, and you know, we are definitely you know, in the middle of talking about some progressive related stuff. Now, you know, I brought up this whole Mexico story today, and we'll do some other stuff in the second hour of the show. But I brought up this whole story from Mexico because I really wanted to impress upon the listenership how important it is to recognize that you know, we're in the middle of an immigration struggle within this country. You know, the GOP and Tom Tancredo and some of these other racists have come out and said all kinds of things, including building, you know, 15-foot-high walls with gun ports and who knows what else. And so what we have as a result is, you know, there's been this huge struggle about immigration, illegal and otherwise. Now, if the folks in Mexico are making decent money, they've got jobs, they're building infrastructure, they're doing some of the things for instance, a Works Projects Administration, a WPA, did here, you know, to help get this country back on track after the Great Depression. If they had some of that stuff in place down there, perhaps there wouldn't be as many poor people who are fleeing Mexico because they have to eat and coming to this country and taking these jobs for, you know, $4, $5, $6 an hour. You know, perhaps they'll feel okay about where they are. Perhaps they won't have to run away and come to this country and, live illegally and take jobs that are out there. Now, you know, you're not going to hear me say they're taking them jobs away from Americans. Or, you know, and you're also not going to hear me say, them there's jobs Americans won't do. What you will hear me say is that there's plenty of jobs to go around. It's just a matter of understanding why they're here. Why they have come here is because they cannot make a living in their own country. Very plainly, evidence to back that up is that there, you know, I read an article not long ago about the gross national product of Mexico and this number two, gross national product of Mexico, number two now, was money being sent back to Mexico from the United States from undocumented immigrants who have come here and they're working and sending their money back to Mexico. So those folks who come here and are working and sending their money back to Mexico, you know, sounds like to me they may be trying to take care of their families who are also starving as a result of the conservatism, the conservative policies of Vicente Fox. See, connecting the dots with all of this, you know, it's a win-win for Fox and Bush. It's a win-win all the way around. Fox gets to export some of the hungriest and most needy, and Bush gets to help his business cronies out by having cheap, really, 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 really cheap labor to drive the costs of labor down for businesses. Now, in a just society, of which we are not living in one right now, and neither is Mexico, in a just society, people would be able to work for a decent standard of living. It's not too much to ask for a lifetime of work with an employer to be paid a decent salary, have health insurance, a yearly vacation or maybe two, you know, and also a pension plan of some sort. It's not too much to ask. But see, to these corporatists who have taken over our government and who are also running the Mexican government, that's too much. To the corporatists, you know, money is the bottom line. Human life is expendable. Profit is everything. Human life is expendable. So, you know, when you look at this situation in Mexico, when you look at López Obrador and his party, what I see, anyway, when I look at it, is I see hope, or I saw hope, for the people of Mexico to actually be able to raise their standard of living, for the people of Mexico to actually take ownership of their government again, for the people of Mexico to be able to subsist without being sold out by their corporatist president, Vicente Fox, who now has a clone about to be knighted and given the reins of power in that nation that's south of our southern border. And while I agree with Jim on the one hand that perhaps we need to start taking care of our own affairs here in the United States, I do disagree in that what happens there directly directly affects us because of the influx of undocumented workers into the United States. So basically, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to look at it from that standpoint, what's happened down there now is going to affect us going forward 6 more years now. There will be 6 more years of collusion with the corporatists and 6 more years of a widening economic chasm there and a widening economic chasm here as well. Doesn't look good. It just doesn't look good. Now, I also pulled a story from from the Guerrilla News Network. I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but go to GuerrillaNews.com, I believe it is. And it's not G-O, it's G-U-E-R-R-I-L-L-A. Oaxaca, Mexico has been setting an example to the people of Mexico and to the people all around the world. They are presently in the middle of a revolution there. And it's started as a teachers' movement against the privatization of education and has turned into a popular movement against the state government. See, folks, the deal is down there, they're going through the same exact problems that we are here with government privatization. I mean, you name it. I'll bet you that if you looked at the Mexican government and looked at some of the things that they're doing, you would find a tremendous amount of similarity as John Fox and I have looked at the Australian government and the United States government. You will see across the world the conservative governments tend to implement many of the same policies. So now in Mexico, they're trying to privatize education so that... who knows exactly why, except for it's one way to keep people stupid. And if they're stupid, they don't vote. If they don't think, they don't vote. Teachers have taken up arms down there. They've set up barricades and they've blocked streets. And their main demand is for the disappearance of the state government. Demanding the disappearance of the state government. But this is just an example, sort of what's happening. Now, here, when we talk about privatization of anything, it's privatization. When in actuality, what it is again, it's allowing private entities to look out for the welfare of the people. And you know what? Private entities don't look out for the welfare of the people. Private entities look out for the welfare of themselves. Private entities, especially businesses, look out for their own bottom line profit. They could care less about you and your pension plan. They could care less about, and part of yesterday, Labor Day, right? Labor Day, the day that we recognize and honor the folks who work hard to make this country the viable place it is. Businesses, if left to their own devices, not all, because there are some business people out there that are very ethical, but there are a lot who aren't. And left to their own devices, I bet you that the minimum wage would, if there wasn't a minimum wage at $5.15 an hour, it would be down under probably $3. And the folks who would be rich would be really, really damn rich, and those who would be poor would be really, really damn poor. It's a tragedy. And you know what? That's going on in Mexico every day. We're going to talk about a different topic when we come back after the top of the hour. I'm glad to have you back with me here on this Tuesday afternoon. And Certainly hope you join us. Thank you for listening, and I'll be right back after the top of the hour news. This is the Bruce Birch Radio Program on the Head On Radio Network.
This is the Quality News Network. In another of a series of speeches to military organizations, President Bush said today the war on terror is not yet over. He urged Americans not to relax the country's defenses. In Washington, Congress returned to work today for its summer recess. On its agenda, spending bills for defense and the homeland security, as well as federal pay raises. It is unlikely issues such as immigration or offshore drilling will be addressed before lawmakers adjourn at the end of the month. 55% of American voters prefer challengers to congressional incumbents running for re-election in November. That's according to the latest CNN poll. Only 12% of those surveyed are satisfied with Congress. Chevron announced today its oil test well in the deep waters of the Gulf of Mexico was successful. The breakthrough could increase U.S. oil reserves by as much as 50%. However, full production probably wouldn't start up for 5 to 7 years. In Mexico, the Electoral Court has recommended that Felipe Calderon be officially declared the winner of July's hotly contested presidential election. The court rejected accusations of fraud. In Vienna tomorrow, a senior Iranian negotiator and the EU foreign policy chief will meet in a last-ditch effort to avoid UN sanctions. The two will attempt a negotiated solution to Iran's insistence it continue to enrich uranium. Five major European countries are refusing to allow Israel's national airline, El Al, to land at its airports if the Israeli planes are transporting military equipment. The new restrictions have been imposed by Germany, Britain, Spain, Italy, and Portugal. In Lebanon, the senior Lebanese intelligence officer investigating last year's assassination of the Lebanese prime minister was wounded by a remote-control roadside bomb today. His four bodyguards were killed. Israel and the Palestinian government will exchange the Israeli soldier kidnapped from Gaza in June for a number of Palestinians held in Israel. In New Orleans, a lawsuit has been filed against state and federal officials by two nursing home operators arrested when 34 of their patients died in the aftermath of Katrina. Attorneys for the couple say government agencies should have prepared better evacuation plans. The sixth named storm of the season has formed over the open Atlantic. Tropical storm Florence is forecast to hit hurricane strength later this week. In Florida, the countdown continues for tomorrow's scheduled liftoff of the space shuttle Atlantis. The launch has been postponed twice due to bad weather.
In addition to producing and distributing the finest hourly newscasts in the country, the Quality News Network conducts interviews with 2006 candidates. We afford congressional and gubernatorial challengers of every political stripe the opportunity to illuminate their views and to demonstrate their character in a 20-minute network-quality interview. We perform this public service to enable voters to get a better listen to the people they might consider electing to high office. Because as Thomas Jefferson said, if a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, it expects what never was and never will be. If you want to know more about who is running in the November elections, go to qualitynewsnetwork.com and click on 2006 candidates. If we are to get America back on track, we need to elect people who can lead us in the right direction. Now, back to the news.
Ford Motor CEO Bill Ford Jr. has resigned. Boeing executive Alan Mulally will replace him. Ford will stay on at the struggling carmaker as chairman of the board. The former Federal Highway Administration chief has been appointed to succeed Norm Mineta as U.S. Transportation Secretary. Mary Peters served in the Arizona Highway Department for more than 15 years. The federal government says U.S. home prices grew just over 8% in the second quarter. That's the lowest gain in 7 years. White House nominee Frederick Mishkin was sworn in today to the Federal Reserve Board. Mishkin, once a professor at Columbia University, also served as a VP at the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. Intel, the world's biggest microchip maker, will announce huge job cuts later today. As many as 10% of Intel staff will be laid off. The Jerry Lewis MDA Telethon raised a record $61 million over the Labor Day holiday. Lewis's annual telethon has now raised more than $1 billion to fight muscular dystrophy since 1966. Light sweet crude ended trading today at $68.69 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. Gold traded at $646.10 an ounce. At the close of Wall Street, the Dow Jones was up 5 points at 11,469. The NASDAQ was up 13 points at 2205. The S&P 500 was up 2 at 1313. More at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Annabelle Lund.
It's time for another hour of conversation radio on the Head On Radio Network. Where the callers are the experts. You're back with the Bruce Birch Radio Program. With your host, Bruce.
Back on the Bruce Birch Radio Program. It's about 6 minutes past the top of the hour here in the second hour of the show. Welcome to all of you Radio Power listeners. I'm really glad to be on Radio Power there at radiopower.org, Shelby LePray's site. Thank you so much for listening and for allowing me to be a part of that network over there. That's fantastic. You guys are it's just really amazing. It's really, really, really great. Now, you can also hear it. If you don't know, if you want to hear this show again, if you like the show so doggone much that you want to hear it a second time, tomorrow morning from 8 until 10 p.m. Eastern, you can hear it by going to radiopower.org. So you're welcome to hop into the chat room and see if anybody's hanging about and see if, talk and chat and do what all that chatters do. Wanted to move over away from some of the Mexican stuff and more into some of the domestic stuff. And there's a couple of terrorism-related stories that I wanted to play for you or wanted to talk about. The first one is, the reality is that the Department of Justice, terror prosecutions have gone way down to pre-9/11 levels. One could say, and perhaps maybe I'll be the one, one could say that maybe they're operating from a pre-9/11 mindset. I've been waiting to say that for at least, as long as the right was saying it. Well, it appears that the low terrorist conviction rates might be because they picked up the wrong people or because there absolutely was nothing there. However, what I wanted to play for you is what the Reich Wing is saying about it. This is off of Fox News' Day Side. I'm going to play you a clip here.
Take a look at the war on terror back here in the United States, where a new study says getting convictions on terror charges is not a common occurrence. Justice Department data shows 40% of all terror cases are thrown out because of weak evidence or no evidence at all.
Fox News legal analyst Craig Mitnick joins us to break this down
Craig
and make it
Mitnick.
Interesting for the people.
It is interesting, guys. Here's why. Terror prosecutions are down, or you say There's unsuccessful terror prosecutions. That's a great thing. That means, as far as I'm concerned, we are legally, as I call it, engaging the enemy earlier. If you don't have the evidence, that means we're arresting them before their final acts become devastating.
Yeah, but then we let them go because there is no evidence, then they are able to commit these
final acts. You pick them up on conspiracy charges, and that's why these prosecutions are not that successful. There's not that much evidence, but then they get held, basically,
most of the time, on immigration charges,
given a lesser sentence, and then shipped out of the country.
Just like you said, Greg, this happens because the prosecutions... they're prosecuted for acts that haven't happened. I mean, so you have to go for intent? Is that the problem?
No, Mike, if there were, God forbid, devastating events here, you would have all the evidence successfully prosecute. But if you're prosecuting them very early on, engaging them legally, engaging the war of terror very early on, you're not going to have the evidence. You get them out of here.
Okay, question here.
How similar is this to a communism scare like several years ago?
Do you know what? What I think in the way I can answer your question, I think right after 9/11, this was a new thing to all of us, and everyone got picked up, and there was all these prosecutions. Our Department of Justice is now becoming precise and more accurate in who they pick up so no one's rights are violated, and I think this study is a really good thing.
Greg Mitnick, we have one more question in the front audience.
Sorry, I wasn't doing my job.
I'd like to know your opinion on the quotation of men and women are not punished in our nation for the opinions that they hold, but for the crimes that they commit. When do the people speaking their opinions, anti-American, reach the place where we feel we must surveil someone or have a second look at what they're up to?
And when can you prosecute them?
Real quickly, and I'll answer this. You, thank goodness we're all entitled to our opinions, and it's called freedom of speech. But when your freedom of speech crosses lines where the government believes reasonably, and the word is reasonably, that those that free speech is leading to crime in the way of a conspiracy or in the way of in furtherance of another crime, that's when the government can step in, and that's what they're doing, and that's why there's not a lot of evidence to prosecute people that are arrested early on.
He did it. Made
very
it
nice, Craig.
That's right.
We knew you could do it.
We knew you could propagate the. We knew you could catapult the propaganda there, Craig. Good job. Yeah, good job, Craig. Oh, God. So essentially, what he's saying is that they are arresting people before they have the evidence. Well, that doesn't make any sense, does it? They're arresting people, charging them with crimes. There's no evidence to support the crime, so they throw them out. But that's somehow stopping terror. That's what Craig Mitnick, who is a Fox News legal analyst, and may I also note, it looks like he's and sounds like he could be a sportscaster, had to say. I just, you know, it's just the insanity. And talk about spin. That's not a spin. That's a whirligig. Have I said how much I hate these people? Okay, well, maybe I just did. That was a tribute to our friend Uncle Mike. Now, second story in the pre-9/11 mindset category. Apparently, Bill Clinton. That's right, Bill Clinton, who is back in the news today, or at least on this radio program. He probably isn't in the news on right wing. Radio, but you know it's kind of interesting how when you look at some of the things that have been going on. Clinton, back in 1996, apparently begged Congress for the ability to be able to go in and do wiretapping, to be able to do legal eavesdropping. He tried to get them to pass some laws that would assist in the ability to stop, for instance, what happened on September the 11th, according to the official story. Now, what's interesting about this is that crazy Republicans. Yes, that's right. The ones who, here we go. those crazy, crazy Republicans, the ones who came along and said that, you know, all is terrible. The you know, that we're going to hell in a handbasket. It's you know, terror is at an all time high, and we're all going to die. That kind of stuff. Well, those folks blocked these laws that apparently Bill Clinton wanted to have put in place. And, you know, what I find interesting about this story, now I'm not a big fan of encroaching on civil liberties by any stretch of the imagination, but if there really is somebody out there who really is planning to kill a whole bunch of people, we need to try to stop them, right? Well, I mean, do we? Yeah, of course I think we do, because, you know, your family might be, you know, you never know. But having said that, you know, encroaching civil liberties to the degree that the Bush administration has done through the Patriot Acts 1 and 2, and then also his illegal acts, is absolutely insane. Absolutely insane. So we have this situation where apparently Bill Clinton, back in 1996, urged Congress to act swiftly in developing anti-terrorism legislation. And Trent Lott? No. Orrin Hatch? No. I think if these guys ever run for election again, they need to be slapped about the head and shoulders with this audio clip that I'm about to play for you now. And it'll be here. There it is.
We need to keep this country together right now. We need to focus on this terrorism issue. The people are together. They're united on it. And we need to quickly identify the areas we can agree on, move as quickly as possible, have a vote if there's an area of significant disagreement, accept the result, and then look forward to the future. There'll be other opportunities to pass laws.
So essentially what Brother Bill was saying is that there was, read between the lines there, there was a significant disagreement in Congress over these anti-terrorism tools that he wanted to have. Oh, and so what did they do? What did they do? They told him no. They said no. We're not going to give you the tools that you need. Essentially, yes, that's right, ladies and gentlemen. The Republicans are the ones to blame for September 11, and not in just a small way, but apparently a very large way.
We need to keep this country together right now. We need to focus on this terrorism issue. The people are together. They're united on it. And we need to quickly identify the areas we can agree on, move as quickly as possible, have a vote if there's an area of significant disagreement, accept the result, and then look forward to the future. There'll be other opportunities to pass laws.
Last word by Bill Clinton. This is the Bruce Burch radio program, and we'll talk a little bit more about some of the chicanery that's going on. I'll be right back.
Everywhere is freaks and heroes, dykes and fairies. Tell me where is sanity? Tax the rich, feed the poor. Tell their own rich no more.
Great universities never set out simply to reflect the communities in which they exist. Rather, they serve as seedbeds of change in an ever-changing world. They take pride in being places where truth is freely sought, where inquiry is encouraged, where new ideas and new ways can develop and flourish at the expense of the old. When a true academic community, instructors and students together, acts and expresses itself freely, without fear, all of society benefits. Concord University is already using this new set of challenges as opportunities to serve in ways that strengthen its dedication to community, its commitment to service. in graduate education, in professional services to working professionals, in highly respected fields of study where standards remain high, in continuing to place graduates in the very best professional and graduate schools in the nation. Concord University remains the very best higher education bargain in this region. Don't ever allow yourself to accept anything less. Concord University, still since 1872, an education you can put to work. For an appointment, call 1-800-344-6679.
When Bruce and I filled in for Bob Kincaid, we didn't know what to expect, but we sure didn't expect a call from the decider.
Told Walmart to sell the Easter egg die kits, you know, the ones with the resurrection egg. We decided at Camp David that we were going to support Walmart and go with what the Lord told them and buy some of them resurrection egg kits. And, you know, I found the resurrection egg. God spoke to me through that egg. And God told me that I am the fourth member of the Holy Trinity. We're calling it the Holy Quadraphonic. So now I'm the fourth voice. The Holy Trinity. So now I got four voices in my head. I have the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost and the Decider. I'm the Decider. I get to decide.
Don't miss Head On with Bob Kincaid weekdays 7 to 10 p.m. and Fourth Estate Radio with John Fox and Bruce Birch Saturdays 10 p.m. Eastern Time on the Head On Radio Network.
This is the story about a group of kids who volunteered.
We fix stuff. Did some art projects with the kids.
Clean up the park.
We worked in the woods.
I just wanted to do something.
We fixed up this house.
Did something for the planet.
Hey, that was all I needed.
And you know what? It was great.
It was a blast.
At first, they didn't know each other.
I didn't know anyone.
Well, that didn't last long.
This guy is really funny.
Me?
These are my new friends. These are really good new friends.
Are you into it?
Are You Into It is a volunteer program for kids like you who care. If you want to make a difference in your community and make friends, call 4-H toll-free at 1-888-77-YOUTH or check out our website at www.areyouintoit.com.
This definitely made a difference.
I feel like I can do everything now.
A public service message brought to you by 4-H, the Cooperative Extension System, and the Ad Council.
I've seen you in the markets, I've seen you in the streets, and at your political conventions. Talking of your crusade, talking of your nation, and other things too terrible to mention. And you proclaim your Christianity, you proclaim your love of God, you talk of apple pie and mine. I just got one question, and I want an answer. Tell me, who would Jesus bomb? Maybe Jesus would bomb the Syrians, 'cause they're not Jews like him. Maybe Jesus would bomb the Afghans.
All right, you're back on the Bruce Birch radio program, where we try to dig a little bit deeper than what's being presented in the mainstream media. You heard David Rovics. That was his song, Who Would Jesus Bomb? Now, today, apparently today, let me just find this out real quick. I believe it's today. He is having a nationwide announcement. Today is the release date. Today is the release date. His newest album, newest CD, newest release, I don't know what the hell they call it, CD, is out today. It's called Halliburton Boardroom Massacre. So look forward to hearing this CD. Now, I've listened to some of the songs on it. It's pretty amazing. You can actually find out more information by going to David Rovics. David, R-O-V-I-C-S, DavidRovics.com, where you can also download all of this music, or if you want to buy a CD, I'm sure that he can, I think there's a link there that can get you to that. But if you like his music, I do challenge you to go listen at least. Give it a listen and perhaps go out and buy the CD. We have to absolutely support our progressive musicians because, you know, it's absolutely necessary. We have to do that. Now, you know, there is a brewing brouhaha. There's a brewing brouhaha in the United States today about the upcoming ABC docudrama, they're calling it, The Path to 9/11. The Path to 9/11. Now, this docudrama is not based in fact and has been decried by many bloggers all over the country. And apparently, let me just read you this story. And now Congresswoman Louise M. Slaughter has come out and is asking ABC to run disclaimers during its upcoming two-night broadcast of this docudrama, The Path to 9/11. Many liberal bloggers have preemptively criticized for inaccurately blaming President Clinton and praising President Bush for everything related to the tragic events of September the 11th, 2001. Representative Slaughter said in a statement released earlier today on her website, quote, ABC has a responsibility to make clear that this film is not a documentary and does not represent an official account of the facts surrounding the September the 11th attacks. She continues, disclaimers noting that The Path to 9/11 is a docudrama should be shown throughout its airing. We have yet to establish the impartiality and accuracy of the people behind this film and the claims it advances, and the American people need to know that. Interestingly enough, folks, the folks who are behind this docudrama, whatever you want to call it, outright lie, perhaps? Let's just call it an outright lie. The people who are behind it apparently are conservative activists. Big surprise, eh? So, you know, and I think, when is it going to be airing? Let me pull that back up again. It's going to be airing on September, I think it's going to be airing on September 10th and 11th. I'll have to look that up. And now ABC Entertainment President Steve McPherson is saying that we've spent $30 million on this, and they're not going to air it. There's not going to be any ads. It's going to be a straight-through shot. Slaughter also questioned the timing of the broadcast, which comes 6 weeks before the midterm elections. But what is far more important is the timing of this movie, she said. The anniversary of the attacks is an emotional time, and it is wrong for anyone to play on those emotions and use them to advance a political agenda. I'm laughing because that's exactly what the right does every time. They play on your base fear. They ply on your fear. The New York Congresswoman also takes aim at some of the recent rhetoric issued by the Bush administration and the Republican Party on Iraq, the war on terror in general. She said, quote, we have been told we are in a fight against a new kind of fascism, and that individuals who question our current path in Iraq are morally equivalent to Nazi appeasers and those who would justify slavery. Such claims are more than morally reprehensible and deeply irresponsible. They are also damaging to our country, making it difficult, if not impossible, to have a serious nonpartisan discussion about how best to protect our nation. But Representative Slaughter, they don't want to have a serious nonpartisan discussion, because any kind of serious nonpartisan discussion would expose them for the frauds that they are. Standing Condoleezza Rice up there to liken pulling out of Iraq to slavery. She did that today. She stood up there and said that those that oh God, it's going to make me crazy. She stood up there and said that that those who would want to pull people out of Iraq would also probably approve of slavery. Can you believe that? And it's going to get worse before it gets better. These people who are running the country right now are absolutely going to do it. They're going to stop at nothing to retain power. Let me just read you this real quick, and we'll take our break. Secretary of State Rice compared the Iraq War with the American Civil War, telling a magazine that slavery might have lasted longer in this country if the North had decided to end the fight early. She is quoted as saying, "I'm sure there are people who thought it was a mistake to fight the Civil War to its end and to insist that the emancipation of slaves would hold." She also said, "I know there were people who said, why don't we get out of this now, take a peace with the South, but leave the South with slaves." Rice also bristled at the notion that the Bush administration's slow response last year in the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina was because of the race of the majority of the victims. She says, "I resented the notion that the President of the United States, this President of the United States, would somehow decide to let people suffer because they were black." Oh, no, 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 no. It had nothing to do with that. It's because they were Democratic voters. Okay? I mean, let's look at it for what it is. It's because they were Democratic voters. That's why the POTUS didn't want to have anything to do with it. She says again, "I found that to be the most corrosive and outrageous claim that anyone could have ever made because it was wholly and totally irresponsible." Oh, I'm sorry. Calling it for what it is irresponsible? Maybe we should rethink that, Ms. Rice? When she was asked if she felt personally accountable, Rice said, "The government did its best. People aren't perfect, and this response was not perfect. You know, I do foreign policy. I don't run Homeland Security. I don't run FEMA. I do foreign policy." She added, "I did what I could do. I did what I could to coordinate the international response." Okay. Okay, so as Secretary of State, instead of going down there and trying to work to help folks, you went shoe shopping. You went to the play. You decided to go play tennis, Condoleezza. Shows you how much you cared about your brethren in New Orleans, doesn't it? Not a damn bit. This is the Bruce Birch Radio Program. If you want to get in on the show, you can dial 1-877-443-2366. You can also email me, bruce@brucebirch.com. This is the Head-On Radio Network. I'll be right back.
Did you hear them talking about it on the radio? Did you try to read the writing on the wall? It all before. It's like deja vu all over again.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can also listen to over at progressive.org. Happy Labor Day, one of my favorite holidays of the year. I usually go over to the local Labor Fest and have a bratwurst and a beer and maybe some late corn on the cob. I like catching up with old friends and discussing where this country's headed and how fast and how we might put on the brakes. And I enjoy the music and the speeches, up to a point anyway. Note to speakers, keep them short. This Labor Day, there's plenty to talk about, though, not least of which is the fact that American workers have seen their wages decline by 2%. Since 2003, or the fact that the Bush administration has stacked the NLRB, which is making one anti-union decision after another. But they're good signs, too. The labor movement now has come around on the issue of immigration and supports the rights of immigrant workers. The labor movement now is much more critical of U.S. intervention and is joining the anti-war movement. The labor movement now recognizes the urgency of working with other social movements to bring about fundamental democratic change in this country. It won't be easy. Organized labor knows that more than just about anybody else. But it keeps fighting. Smaller in numbers, but stronger in outlook. Organized labor is one of the few bulwarks we have against the reactionary wave that has crashed upon us. And that's something to celebrate. This Labor Day. I'm Matt Rothschild. And that's how I see it.
Listen, man. Adding fractions is no big deal.
Nah?
No. You just got to find what they call the common denominator. Let me show you.
All right.
Now, see these bottom numbers?
Yeah.
These are the denominators. That one's a 4, and that one's an 8.
Mm-hmm.
You just double both of these numbers, so that becomes an 8, too. Then you add them up.
Man, you sure make this easy.
Charles Bennett always dreamed that after college he'd return to the old neighborhood as a teacher. But without the money for tuition, only half of his dream came true. He's back in the old neighborhood.
Well, enough math. I gotta deliver these sandwiches.
Oh, sure.
Please support the United Negro College Fund. Call 1-800-332-UNCF. A mind is a terrible thing to waste. A public service brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
Bruce.
Big crook, Bruce.
Where's Bruce?
It's not air, Bruce.
No, I mean, it's up in the air, Bruce.
You're back on the Bruce Birch radio program. It's about 35 minutes past the hour. If you want to get in on the show, you got a few more minutes to do that. You can dial 1-877-443-2366. We'll get you into the studio of the Head On Radio Network, and you can also email me if you're so if you want to do that. You can do that as well. My good mate, my good friend John Fox from down under in Sydney, Australia, is now telling me that the 9/11 show, the path to 9/11 that ABC is going to show, is being simulcast worldwide. Worldwide. Now, I want to pick this apart for a minute. And if you want to follow along, you can do that by going to thinkprogress.org. The first scene in the movie, the first night of the movie, the first night of Path 9/11 has a dramatic scene where former National Security Advisor Sandy Berger refuses to give the order to the CIA to take out bin Laden, even though CIA agents, along with the Northern Alliance, have his house surrounded. Rush Limbaugh, who refers to the writer Cyrus Nauraste as a friend of mine, reviews the action. He says, "So the CIA, the Northern Alliance, surrounding a house where bin Laden is in Afghanistan, they're on the verge of capturing, but they need final approval from the Clinton administration in order to proceed. So they phoned Washington. They phoned the White House. Clinton and his senior staff refused to give authorization for the capture of bin Laden because they're afraid of political fallout should the mission go wrong." Now, let's take it over to an official who worked for Bush 1, Clinton, and Bush 2, Richard Clark. Richard Clark says, number one, contrary to the movie, no U.S. military or CIA personnel were on the ground in Afghanistan and saw bin Laden, ever. Number two, contrary to the movie, the head of the Northern Alliance, Massoud, was nowhere near the alleged bin Laden camp and did not see Osama bin Laden. Number three, contrary to the movie, the CIA director actually said that he could not recommend a strike on the camp because the information was single-sourced and we would have no way to know if bin Laden was in the target area by the time a cruise missile hit it. Ladies and gentlemen, in short, this scene is bullcrappery. Horsecrappery. It makes the incendiary claim that the Clinton administration passed on a surefire chance to kill or catch bin Laden and never happened, never did it. It was completely made up. This was completely made up. It's a lie. Complete lie. The actual history is quite different. According to the 9/11 Commission report, then CIA Director George Tenet had the authority from President Clinton to kill bin Laden. Roger Cressy, former National Security Director for Counterterrorism, has written, "Mr. Clinton approved every request made of him by the CIA. and the U.S. military involving using force against bin Laden and al-Qaeda. Freedom's on the march. That's right. As long as it's a lie, freedom's on the march. Horse dookie. Well, now you know the truth, right? Now you know the truth. If you know, and that's the deal. We have to push through the seemingly never ending morass of lies that these folks really push out there. It really does blow me away. It really does. Interestingly enough, though, of course there will be the millions of people who don't listen to talk radio who watch nothing but. American Idol or whatever, will watch this, and what they will think is that that's true. So they'll say, well, we don't want to elect a Democrat this time around because a Democrat will pass on the chance to kill the bad guy. They'll pass it on. They won't do it. They're cutting runners. Well, now, some of the senators might be, but... I don't know about anybody else, but this Democrat is not a cut and runner. All right, so you know that there's that, you know, and it's, you know, if it's that's one scene that's absolutely wrong, okay, you know, imagine what the rest of it's going to be like. But you know, I'm going to have to force myself to sit down and watch it, but I probably will have a bucket sitting next to the chair, but just in case I need to hurl, because you know the reality is that when they put the lies out there like that, and so forcefully, you know. See, this is what they're doing is exactly what they've been accusing the left of doing for years. They're accusing, or what they're doing is they're trying to say, well, see, you know, we can do it too. We can make up bald-faced lies and call it documentaries. Well, you know, the reality is that here on the left, we tend to tell factual stuff, okay? So when there is a documentary that comes out, if the facts look damning, well, because they're facts. However, saying that Clinton passed up a chance to kill bin Laden has no basis in fact at all whatsoever. They had to make it up in order to push that idea forward. Had to make it up. Moving right along. That's right, Yosemite Sam, John Bolton. Yosemite Sam, John Bolton is apparently going to be up for He's going to be up apparently for his confirmation to, you know, that post that he's been in for such a long time already. Yeah, well, he's up for confirmation to that post, and you know, here's what I say about that.
You've got troubles, Mac.
Yes, we do. We've got troubles. We've got troubles. Why do we have troubles? Well, the reality is that this guy has done everything he can of course, what do they do? You know, what does this government do? What happens? We elect people who hate government. And then, because they hate government, they appoint people to run the government who are totally inept at doing anything at all, to make government look like it's not worth trying to pursue. And who do they send to the United Nations? That's right, the one guy who hated the United Nations, worse than anything in the world, they sent John Bolton. The Senate Foreign Relations Committee now is going to consider whether or not to support the nomination of John Bolton to be the United States ambassador to the United States to the United Nations this Thursday. According to Elizabeth Alexander, spokeswoman for Senator Joseph Biden, the ranking Democrat on the committee. Last year, the Republican leadership opted to send the nomination to the Senate floor without a recommendation, despite holding a 10-8 majority in the committee. It remains unclear whether Bolton will meet with more or less success on Thursday. However, one prominent Republican, George Voinovich, you know, the guy who stood on the floor of Congress and cried his eyes out over this. Oh, well, he's changed his mind. He's changed his mind. He says, I can't believe we've come to this. I can't believe it. And now he's like, oh, yeah, it's okay. It's okay. I'm taking Prozac now, and it's okay. I'm taking Zoloft, and it's okay. I'm taking, you get the picture, folks. You get the picture. In response to a question issued at a speech given in late July, Senator Chuck Hagel, who sits on the committee who voted to confirm Bolton in 2005, has voiced concerns about his leadership and stated that he was unsure how he would vote when the nomination was reviewed. Well, you know what'll happen. They'll get him off to the side and they'll say, "Ah, Chucky, you better get lockstep now. I can't have any of that." He says, "I want to revisit Mr. Bolton's performance. The United Nations is a very important institution. I think it is as important today as maybe it's ever been, and I think that America needs to have a standing there." Oh, well, that's a total opposite world stance from the rest of your party, Chucky. He says he hasn't decided yet how he'll vote on Mr. Bolton. Well, we'll send old Deadeye Dick down there, and he'll take care of you. Oh, yes, Deadeye Dick will take care of you. All right, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll take the rest of the show. And let's see, hold up. No, before we do that, let's go ahead, Zach. Before we do the break, let's take some callers. Let's go ahead and get Deborah from Maryland. Deborah, how are you doing this afternoon?
I'm just peachy. I found you because Mike Malloy was taken off the air, and
well, I'm glad you found me.
I am thrilled because you're like my new thing.
I'm your new thing. Well, that's cool.
You're my new thing. You know, and can I steal a quote from Mike Malloy? How have I told you how much I hate these people?
Oh, yes,
I hate
yes,
these
yes.
people. Oh, good Lord.
Yes.
And you covered some really good really good topics. Just in, you know, 3 minutes. And
well,
I try to tell people the Bush crime family goes back way back.
Oh, yes.
And they, you know, funded the Nazis. They, you know,
they did all kinds of things. Yeah, Prescott Bush was I think he was a representative. I don't think he ever made it to senator. But,
he, no, he actually funded them.
Yeah, I know it. And was part of a bank that was actually, you know, that's the longstanding feud that the Bush family has with you know, why they hate Franklin Roosevelt is because he confiscated the bank.
You know, God forbid Franklin Roosevelt ever did anything good for the American people, which he did. You know, he had all of the, you know.
Yeah.
The prospects of the American people in mind. You know, it's just so sad. Just so sad that people don't see it for what it is, and you know where this country is going under the regime that it is under. You know, and it's got nothing to do with ordinary working people. It's got nothing to do with anybody who tries to make a living wage. You know, it's all about big business and corporations.
It is,
and I find it laughable that they're charging people with Islamofascism.
I know.
Take a mirror.
But the folks who catch the headline news, see this, you know, they come up with these little memes, these little terms like this to catch people who don't listen to news. You know, who aren't engaged, and it's a little catchphrase, and it sounds kind of sinister, and because it sounds kind of sinister, you know, people can go, they can walk around and go, "Islamofascists," and they don't even know what the hell they're saying. You know
That's
what I'm saying?
That's true.
And you know,
if you
it's
look
another
at
way
the
to
word fascism. It's, it's corporatization of a state.
Exactly.
And that's exactly what the Bush regime has done.
And precisely what they've done. And so,
exactly.
You know, as I said the other day, I don't know what I was playing. I was playing the Donald Rumsfeld speech that he gave that was so just so crappy. And you know, in the speech, he starts talking about a new kind of fascism. I said, yeah, American style.
Well, you're right, Bob. You know, you're absolutely right.
Yep.
It's fascism, and people don't recognize fascism for what it is. And the crazy thing is, and this is the thing that I point out on a daily basis. You have five corporations in my country, your country, in the United States, that cover the so-called news. All five corporations are directly contracted into the military-industrial complex.
Mm-hmm.
So you tell me you're getting real news? No.
Oh, no.
You're getting what is filtered as news. I mean,
what they want us to know. Exactly.
Those people knew to laugh at you know, whatever Pravda was giving them. Here
well,
in
you
this
know,
country, people think that they're getting news. Like, no, you're not. You're getting what the corporation wants you to know. And it's all
bullshit. Deborah, have you ever heard the song I'm the Slime by Frank Zappa?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that is exactly what the song is about.
It's about what happened.
Being fed tripe. And, you know, you will obey me while I lead you and eat the garbage that I feed you. You know,
yeah,
and that's
isn't
what we're,
that sad,
you know.
Though? Because here I am close to 50 years old, and I'm having to spoon feed my aunt, who's in her 70s. You know, what the hell is going on, you know, on our own soil? She's like, well, no. I'm like, yeah.
Well, Fox News didn't say it today.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
which is why I have my own radio show.
Exactly, and that is the tragedy
of what's
happened with the media. You know, the mainstream media is no longer the fourth estate at all.
No, it has. You know, but this was all part and parcel of a 30-year plan.
You're absolutely right.
You know, I mean, to take control of the media, those who, you know, and somebody who says, oh, you're just a Bush hater. No, Clinton was part of parcel of, you know, taking control of the media, you know, letting fewer and fewer people. Yeah.
Clinton was a corporatist appeaser as well.
Of course.
He wanted to secure his retirement, and I think he did a fine job of doing that. Now, as far as leading the country, no.
Yeah.
He was probably one of the more compassionate conservatives we've ever had.
He was compassionate because he came from that. He came from a poor background, so he could understand, you know, some of it, but the long and short of it was that he played for the globalists.
Certainly did. He certainly did.
He went right down that same line, and when somebody said, oh, you're just a Bush hater. No, it's both sides of the aisle. What people have to understand and what people have to realize, really, is that both sides of the aisle are completely corrupt.
Indeed they are.
And I think we've seen... to get rid of, you know, having two parties to control this country.
I'd like to see instant runoff voting get implemented, but that's...
Wouldn't that be
great? Maybe, tell you what, Deborah, what we can do is I know some folks who are some experts on that kind of stuff, and we might do a show about that sometime soon.
Outstanding.
So. All right. Well, I've got another caller sitting right behind you.
All right.
Chomping at the bit,
but
Deborah, but I really do appreciate
your show.
Thank you, and I really appreciate you joining me today, and thanks for being a new listener.
A lot of other people on to you too.
All right.
All right.
That'd be fantastic.
Bye.
Talk to you later. And that was a brand new caller from Maryland, Deborah. Thanks, Deborah, for tuning in and for joining me today. That's fantastic. Let's go straight over to Dave, our good friend, our good pal, Dave from Eureka. Dave, how you doing today?
Really great, Bruce. You know, it's often said that if you a lie is of such outrageous proportions, people will be inclined to think it probably isn't a lie. And one of the exactly. things that all evidence for me that has led to is that 9/11 was an inside job. That is to say that they had expressed that they would need a 9/11 to get the people to get behind invasions of oil-rich countries in the Middle East. They planned for Iraq, Afghanistan, and Syria and Iran, and they labeled them an axis of evil. And they had all kinds of talk about their new world order and global domination. They would use their 9/11 as a justification for implementing the Patriot Act for the invasion, for taking away all kinds of freedoms. And now, in this latest, I guess, film, they're going to try to make it like it was a Clinton problem, the whole 9/11 thing, for failure to pursue bin Laden vigorously enough.
You know, they have to place the blame somewhere, because the reality is that despite almost half of the American public not buying the official commission's final story, despite that, they've got to move those independent thinkers, they got to move them away from that idea and more toward, I mean, you know, it's just insane. And you're right, you're absolutely right. It's the big lie concept. It's the, if you tell a lie that's big enough, and you tell it enough times, people will buy it.
Well, I mean, who wants to believe that our own government would orchestrate that kind of a nightmare for the citizens?
I don't want to believe it. I don't want to believe it, Dave. Do you?
No, definitely.
I mean, I don't want to.
But if that's where all evidence takes me, if indeed I know as a certainty bin Laden had no capability whatsoever to keep our Air Force on the ground for an hour and a half, what, almost 2 hours, while this all went on, he didn't have that ability. That had to be an inside job. If those buildings all came down from planned demolition, and they did, all the engineers say that, architects say that's planned demolition, bin Laden could not have planted those demolitions in place over a period of what it would take several months to do that. And the 9/11 Commission was just a complete series of omissions. Like, according to the 9/11 Commission, there was no Building 7. But this wasn't one. It didn't make any mention of it. It seemed like that was kind of a big oversight. So. Yeah.
You think?
I would think
it's a little bit of an oversight. God.
Because at least it said, and also Building 7 came down later that day, but we don't want to deal with that. You know, we don't want to deal with that
because it dropped on its footprint and looked exactly like an implosion out of look.
Right, and the plane that was supposed to hit it got hijacked back by the passengers, so we had to shoot that one down. So, no, Building 7 never did get hit. So much unanswered about that, you know, and... these guys that we have running our country right now, I am completely convinced they are criminals beyond belief. They are psychopaths. They don't care how much harm they cause. Just meeting their own insatiable greed is all that matters. And that is hard to believe. It's hard to accept. It's hard to say this is what we've got that is running our country today, claiming themselves to be very superior moral types.
Well, you know, and I think that's part of my job is to try to present the facts and the stories that are coming out, and hopefully someone will tune in who's a little bit on the fence and will understand, you know, how far to the right this country has gone and how much that resembles less than a democracy and more of an authoritarian society. And, you know, with that, Dave, I've kind of got to get because I'm about to run out of time, my friend.
Thank you so much, Bruce. They're doing an immense amount of harm, and it's good to have people like you out there spelling it out for us.
Well, I think it's and you know what? You're doing the same thing, Dave. So,
well,
you know, pat yourself on the back, my friend.
I'm doing what I can. Thank you.
All right. Bye. Thank you for calling, and I hope you have a wonderful afternoon.
Take care.
Okay. And that's our good friend Dave from Eureka, California, who always has a poignant point to make and great recap of the show. Because, you know, the reality is that we are trying to fight these zealots. They're zealots. They're crusaders. They're criminals. You know, they're gonna try to push forward their ideas despite our protests and marches. They're gonna do it. So how are we gonna get them out of power? Well, maybe we should talk about that tomorrow, because I'm out of time. The show was produced today by my good friend and fantastic producer, Zach Rebich. Lorelei answered your phone calls. Thank you, Lorelei. I'd like to also thank John Fox for being the announcer of this radio program and the chief head-on radio engineer, John Fox of Sydney, Australia. He's got some damn long arms, by the way. Also want to thank our good friend Peter Godbold of Godbold Computer Services for being the guy who keeps all the bits and bytes crunching in the Head On Radio Network studios. I want to thank my good friend Gene from Oregon for being our Head On Headlines news ninja. Hi-ya! Let's see, who else? Ben Birch of the White Rose Society for managing and archiving the stream. Shelby Lepre at Radio Power for allowing this program to run on her station 8 to 10 every morning at radiopower.org. Thank you, Shelby. Also to the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. They are the reason why we do this thing here at the Head On Radio Network, and how we get it done is because of them. They are building the American dream. And last but not least, listeners, thank you for joining me this afternoon in what has been a rollicking good time on this day after Labor Day. This is the Bruce Birch Radio Program on the Head On Radio Network. And remember, folks, it's your democracy, too, and it's not a spectator sport. I'll see you tomorrow. Stay tuned for Bob Kincaid coming up after the news. Talk to you soon.
This is the Quality News Network. In another of a series of speeches to military organizations, President Bush said today the war on terror is not over yet. He said terrorists have adjusted their tactics in accordance with changing U.S. policy and urged Americans to remain vigilant. In Washington today, the White House released its first strategy for fighting terrorism since 2003. It includes goals such as preventing rogue states from obtaining weapons of mass destruction, preventing them from supporting terrorist networks, and strengthening ties with other countries. Chevron announced today that it has extracted oil from a test well in the Gulf of Mexico. This is the Quality News Network. In another of a series of speeches to military organizations, President Bush said today the war on terror is not over yet. He said terrorists have adjusted their tactics in accordance with changing U.S. policy and urged Americans to remain vigilant. In Washington today, the White House released its first strategy for fighting terrorism since 2003. It includes goals such as preventing rogue states from obtaining weapons of mass destruction, preventing them from supporting terrorist networks, and strengthening ties with other countries. Chevron announced today that it has extracted oil from a test well in the Gulf of Mexico. The find could boost U.S. oil reserves by as much as 50%. However, full production probably won't start up for 5 to 7